The Gemara says in Megillah, the Flamed Aleph from a base. Ezra Tikkun Yisrael, Shiyu Koyin Klolis Shibataris Koinim Koidim Atzeres. That one should read Parshas B'chukosai, which is in Taurus Koinim, which is Sefer Yikra is called Taurus Koinim. Ezra Tikkun Yisrael, Ezra was Masakim for Klaus, well, it should read the Parsha of Klolis B'chukosai, yeah, Koidim Atzeres before Shavuos. It's a Gemara Megillah Daf Lamed Aleph on the base. Gemara talks about there when one reads this parasha, when one reads that haftorah, etc. Now, the interesting thing is that never, as far as I know, never do we have Shavuos coming immediately after Parshas B'chukosai. Okay? Even Chutz Oretz that have till now been one parasha behind, as it were, yeah, they're laying in Parshas B'midbar the Shabbos. And Shavuos is coming, obviously, on Motzei Shabbos, which is Sunday. So, in other words, it's beginning of Parshas Nosoi. I'm not aware, perhaps you can tell me otherwise, but I'm not aware that Parshas B'chukosai would ever be the parasha before Shavuos. Yet, Ezra was Masakan that Parshas B'chukosai should come before Shavuos, when in fact we find that Parshas B'midbar usually... Yeah, sometimes when it's Shlomo Ber it's different, but usually Parshas B'midbar comes before Shavuos, sometimes even Parshas Nosoi. But generally, in most cases, Parshas B'midbar has Shavuos in the middle. Parshas B'midbar begins the Parshas before and Parshas B'midbar, and the Parshas after Shavuos is Parshas Nosoi. That is generally what happens. If it's so important that Parshas B'chukosai should come before Shavuos, why is it that we actually have Parshas B'midbar before Shavuos? Okay, what lessons are there to understand that it's not enough to have Parshas B'chukosai, you've got to have Parshas B'midbar as well before Shavuos in order to get us ready for Kabbalah Satorah? So I'd like to focus on various different interesting nekudas, interesting points, which basically complements last week's Shia, and by no means contradicts it, it complements it. Last week's shiur talked about Imchokosai Telechu, talked about the aspects of being Omol Vatera. It talked about immersing oneself in Torah, about focusing and learning, about totally encompassing the Torah education and Torah learning and Torah knowledge into our daily lives. Yeah, Omol Vatera, Oisik Vatera, Asik Vatera, working Torah. We discussed it last week. And this Parshas B'midbar is there to give some perspective of how the Asik Vatorah should be done. It's there to qualify to what extent that should be done and when actually Asik Vatorah dictates that we should actually step back from learning Torah and step back from being Asik, having our heads, as it were, inside the book and actually look around and do other things that would be one would not term as Asik Vatorah. Reb Chaim Shmal in the Sefer Yunei Chaim points out, like we pointed out, that Parshas B'midbar is always a parasha before, and Parshas Nosei is usually the parasha after Shavuos. What's the idea behind it? And he says like this. He says, it's a medrash that brings down on the possibly Yisyaldu al Mishpachosun Abeis Avosam. This week's parasha, Vayisyaldu al Mishpachosun Abeis Avosam. He says, what's Peshat Mishpachosun Abeis Avosam? Mishpachosun to their father's homes. What does that mean? So he said that is connected to Midbar Sinai. Why Midbar Sinai? Midbar Sinai is a Midbar in the Sinai where the Torah is given at Har Sinai. And it brings a Medrash. The Medrash says, in the Yalkut, Peshaw Shekiblu Yisrael es HaTorah. When Klal Yisrael, when the Kabbal the Torah, received the Torah, Niskanu Umay So'ilam Behen. The nations of the world were jealous. What was it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to bring them close to be endeared to him more than the other nations? Says the Medrash, Sosam Pim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shut their mouths. Omalehem by the following taina. He said to them, Heviyu li Sefer Yuchsin Shalachem. Bring for me your book of Yuchsin. Your book of Yuchsin means show me your family tree. Show me where you come from. Shnema, hovul Hashem mishpachos amim. Hovul Hashem mishpachos amim. Bring to Hashem the mishpachos and nations of the amim. Kesheim shebonai mevi'im, like my children brought. Like it says, ve'yisyaldu al mishpachosam. Ad kan l'shoinu. In other words, Rabbi Yisrael, listen to this carefully. The way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to choose Klal Yisrael over the other Umos was the fact that Klal Yisrael knew where they came from. They could bring their family trees. What does that mean? What do you mean? And Memela what? So what? So in the previous years we've discussed that the concept of valuing Masira, the concept of appreciating that our fathers, our forefathers, our Masira knows better than we know today. Although we're very sophisticated, today, by the way, there's a major breakdown in authority and a major breakdown in respect children have for their parents, because children are technologically savvy. Yeah, they know how to surf, they know the technology, they've got the iPhones and the iPads, and they know their stuff. And the parents are sort of still behind. You know, the parents still using, like, put the tape on, yeah, and or CDs or floppy disks, and the children look at them a little very, very primitive. And it's true, they are primitive. In that concept, in the way the world is developing year by year, it is primitive in that kind of world to start still be using floppy disks. You ever use floppy disks? Remember those?
And they were really floppy.
Yeah, really floppy disks, right? So who uses a floppy disk today? Right? You disk on key, you have all different things, right? So it is primitive. When it comes to Yiddishkeit, and therefore you really want to do away with the previous, nobody's going to keep the old stuff from the old previous generation, it's not something you keep, right? In Yiddishkeit, on the contrary, the further you go back, the more closer you are to Rabbeinu Shleilam's Torah, the more you are to the Masorah, we value the previous generations. And therefore, that's why Klal Yisrael brought the Sefer Yochsin, because we value the past, whereas the other nations only value the progression of technology and the world. So never bought it. That's what we discussed in the previous years. But Reb Chaim Shmal says perhaps it means differently. He says, what the idea over here is the concept of how family is important. When you bring parents in, when you can bring a Sefer Yuchsin, means my family means something to me. I value my parents. I value my grandparents. I have their pictures on my walls. Yeah, they mean something to me. Family concept, the family surroundings, who you are within a family is something which is very uniquely Jewish. The Jewish mother, the Jewish grandmother. Other nations of the world have learnt from us. But the concept of being within a family setting and valuing our parents, valuing our grandparents, bringing them in, is a uniquely Jewish factor. It's very important. Within b'chukosai teilechu, it's extremely important to be omel b'Torah. It's extremely important to be involved in learning, to be absorbed in learning, to be engrossed in your Torah, but not at the expense of one's family. Not the expense of one's family. In other words, Parshas B'chukosai tells us, put your head in the Gemara. Parshas B'midbar tells us, yes, but sometimes the only way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants your Torah at all is if you appreciate and Chas V'Shalom do not neglect the family setting and the family surroundings. A Talmud Chochem is not somebody who is so in the head, his head is so much in learning that he ignores the needs of his family around him. That is not a person who's a Talmud Chochem. It may be a very knowledgeable person, but it's not the Talmud Chochem, it's not the Gadol B'Torah that Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted. And the stories abound. The famous story of Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Moshe and the other Gedolim were discussing, they want to go into the Me'etzes Gedolei HaTorah in America, and they were discussing how much kobud they get when they come in. They all stand up, everyone stands up and starts singing Su Sha'orim, and he says, Mamish, it's like the Chofetz Chaim used to say, Me'est Kugel if they're velt. You know, you're eating kovod in this world, it's not healthy. All that kovod is stand up. The lawyer says it's not something that's healthy. But they decided that for their wives' sake, the wives are going to sit in the Ezes Noshim, for their wives' sake, to see that their dedication to the husband, the cover that the husbands get, the wives will feel happy from it. And the wives will be proud of their husbands. They'll feel a simcha and they have no right to steal that simcha from their wives. That is Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar is the Yisrael Mishpachosom to know that there's a family, not to chas v'sholom sacrifice them on a korban tzibur. That is Amola Batera. Parshas Nosoi is not only family. Parshas Nosoi is a husband-wife relationship. What's Parshas Nosoi about? Parshas Nosoi teaches us, once you have the Torah given on Shavuos, fine, there's Amola Batera, and there's Idea Satira, and there is the geshmak of learning, there's no doubt, but there's also a respect and the importance that Torah has given the relationship between husband and wife. And that chas v'sholem must never, ever, ever be diluted. Where do we see that? In Parshas Nosoi is the parasha of dealing with a soita. A soita is somebody who is suspected of having an affair, a woman suspected of having an affair, and the husband warns her. And the Torah describes that you take a bit of dye, you write a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name on a klaf, on a piece of shtar, on a megillah, and you scratch out Kodesh Baruch Hu's name onto water, and you give that water to drink to the soita, and the soita will blow up, literally. She'll blow up if anything happened. Nothal kreisoi, she'll blow up. And not only will she disintegrate, but also the one that she had the affair with, even if he's not there and has not drank the water, he could be the other side of the world, the same things will happen to him simultaneously, exactly the same time. Now, Rabbi Yisrael, you have to understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not make open nisim. That's not his style. There's a natural world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides behind teva. And yet, by drinking this water, with a bit of ink inside, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to forego his general practice and make a ness at any given moment. If she did something wrong, a ness will happen. If she didn't do something wrong, a ness will also happen. She'll have easier pregnancies from then, she'll have easier labor. In other words, HaKodesh Baruch Hu allows the whole course of nature to change for the sake of Shalom Bayis. He's willing to have his name scratched out for the sake of Shalom Bayis. And you can be quite sure that if the word gets round that such a thing of the Seita is effective, you can be quite sure that women will be far more careful to make sure that they are going to ensure that Chas v'Shalom is no kind of misbehavior. And therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to make Nisim, and Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing to allow his name to be erased for the sake of Shalom Bayis. That is Parshas Nosi. Amala Batira, yes. Asik Batira, yes. Whatever you want, absolutely. But Parshas Nosi follows on and says, yes, but there's a wife. And there's an obligation. And there's a chrayis to make sure that the wife is looked after. And there's a chrayis to make sure that the marriage doesn't suffer because of your Amala Batira. Rebbe Tsnartuski says that you cannot imagine what a masmid her father was. Rechaim Pinchas Scheinberg, incredible masmid. He was known by everybody as an incredible masmid. But she can be made, she can give witness how hard he worked in the house to help on Erev Shabbos. How hard it was. He worked, he hours or however long it was, but he was oisik in the household. He did not neglect his home, he did not neglect his wife's needs. Somebody once went to the stipler and he said, my wife gets very nervous on Erev Shabbos. What should he do? I'm in a base medrash. My wife gets very nervous. What should he do? So he maybe look for some kind of skula, you know, frosh's challah or nishmas. So, you know, how do you get around this? So Simon said, so nema bezen, take a broom. You have no right. You have no right to be oisik b'teira if somebody else is suffering. And therefore, again, imchokosei teleicha mola b'teira. Yes, absolutely. But there's a family and there's a marriage, and both of them are choshev. Rav Olowik, I once heard a very fantastic thing. He said that on Moshe Shabbos, he plays with the kids, whether it's chess, or whether it's Lego, you name it, he plays with his kids when they were much younger. Rav Olowik is a big mechanech. He said to get somebody to learn, to teach your kids Torah, you can play Rebbe for that. There'll be no adult who can take a place for playing with your kids on the floor. You can't employ somebody to do that. A father's got to do that. And this is Amola Batoira with a balance, with a normality, with a seichel. Let's carry on. The Pasuk says, yeah, the Pasuk says, but in Bamid, the Pasuk says, B'mispa Shemois. Let's pass me a chumish. S'u'es Rosh Bnei Yisrael, Mishmachos in the base of Oysom, B'mispa Shemois Kozochel Gulgal Oysom. Perik Aleph, Pasuk base. What does it mean, B'mispa Shemois, for the numbers of their names? So the, it's already brought down in the Rambam brings it down, that everyone has got to be treated by kovid ubigdula. In other words, he didn't just go along and say, how many, shout outside the front door, how many people are there over here? And you say, 10 people, fine, you write down 10 people and walk on. Give a few clicks. That's not what we do. B'mispar Shemos means every person has a number, everyone has a name, everyone has a quality, everyone has an identity. And Moshe Rabbeinu had to go along and say, Shalom Aleichem, Arav, Pliny, Pliny. What is your name? Where do you come from? Nice to meet you. And he give cover to each person. That's Mispar Shemos. Why is that important? Now listen to this. Rabbi, so this is something which is unfortunately got to be a godel to understand this carefully, because we don't see this balance as well. And it's something we have to learn. And it's something that society has to ensure that we follow this through, otherwise we are not only negligent in Kiruv, but we're negligent in Almola Batera. Rabbi Yochanan says, it's a Gemara in Brachus. Rabbi Yochanan, by Rabbi Yochanan, Hiktim Odom Shalom Ba'ilam. There was never a case where a person said good morning to him first. He would always be Maktu Shalom Mechol Odom, even to a Goy. Even to a Goy. Why is that? What's the idea behind this? What's the concept over here? The Maral says, Kashinoyak Odom covered the Chaveroi, Dover Zehu Etzemachaim. If a person gives cover to his friend, that is his life. That's his life. And I heard an unbelievable story once. It happened about, I think, about 3 or 4 years ago. There was a Mashkiach in America who was by a Seder table. By a Seder table. And there was a family who called him over that they were missing on their table some kind of soda that they were promised they were going to get before Yontov. And he said, I'm very sorry, we are short of it. And this woman started berating him in front of everybody, screaming at him. I pay for this. This is not free. I pay a lot of money for this. At least I expect to have this and this soda on my table. And, you know, not only are you liars, you know, really giving this person, Rachman Litzan, a real dress down in front of everybody. This man literally collapsed and dropped dead. Literally collapsed and dropped dead. He was perfectly healthy before. The Maharal says, Kashen noyag odom covered b'chaveri. When a person is noyag covered to his friend, Dover zehu etzem achayim. That is his life. If a person is learning Torah, and a person is not noyag covered b'chaveri, then he's stealing the life of his friend. Dafka in these weeks of Sfiras Ha'Emet, where we're counting up towards Torah, this is where the Torah is so makbid, that Shenogu covered Zeim Zeh, when Tamid and Rebbe Kiva not know covered one with the other, they died in a Magefa. Because they did not give Chaim to somebody else, Chaim was taken from them. When one's Omol Batira, when one is learning Torah, then naturally one becomes very purist. One becomes very engrossed in what one's doing, and one somehow can very easily slip into being looking down at people who are less knowledgeable. Where ultimately, intellect, hard work, dedication, and success in Torah is king in the society we are in. People who are less than that, in those levels, we look down upon. To an extent that we can ignore them, and to the extent that not only do we not say hello to them, but we can speak disparagingly to them. There's sort of a cynicism that we have. Rabbi Yochanan, who's a gadol hador, Rabbi Yochanan at any time could be Mechayim Esim. Anyone that Moroim could be Mechayim Esim, literally. Yeah? He was limaktim odm shalom ba'olam. Every person he saw in the street, he was the first one to give a shalom to. He was aware of other people. Rav Shera, when he was a young man, he was a young man. He was in America, and he was taking around Rav Chonon Wasserman, who came from Baranovich to collect money for the yeshiva. So Rav Chonon was staying in a hotel in New York, and Rav Chonon didn't speak English very well. But as he came out of his room, he saw the black bellboy, the black lift attendant. Now they used to have people, the lift attendants going up and down. And Rav Chonon said to him, "Good morning, sir." Yeah, the same accent that this black boy would say to Rav Chonon. He quickly said it first. "Good morning, sir." Rav Chonon Wasserman, he had the whole world on his shoulders. He had the yeshiva on his shoulders. He's a god of Torah. Yes. But le'yaktim olam shalom olam, there's no reason why I don't say hello to somebody. You know, it's a Yiddish expression, to greet somebody is called to grease. Yeah? Rav Shimon Hirsch once said, we must not be a generation of people who are grease-proof. We mustn't be people who just go through life without greeting people. And to such an extent, the Gemara says, in Makkos, Daf Chof Dalet, the Gemara says, if you look in Rus, there seems to be a posuk over there which is totally superfluous. The posuk talks about Boaz coming back. The posuk says in Perek Beis, "V'hinei posuk dalav, v'hinei Boaz bar mi beis lechem." Boaz came from beis lechem. "V'yoyim al koitzrim," and he saw these people are cutting down Tvoah. He said, "Hashem imochem, Hashem should be with you." "V'yoyim ruloi," and he said to him, "Yivarechecha Hashem, Hashem should bless you." In other words, he came along and he saw the workers there. "Hello, Bob. All right, you should be blessed," and they moved on. Why is that such an integral part of the parasha? You've got Megillas Rusi. You know, he went and said hello, and they said hello back to him, and he moved on. Why is that so important? So the Gemara says in Makkos that this actually was a takana. The takana was that until then, a person was not allowed to use a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name to wish somebody else hello. Shleisha Devorim also based in Shemato, but his scheme of based in Shemala Yodom. Three things based in Shemato did, and based in Shemala agreed to them. What were they? So he says, "Ve'elohei mikru megillah, u'she'elas shalom b'shem." And saying Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name, using Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name, shalom is Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name. Using Hakadosh Baruch Hu's name for the name of peace. Vavos ma'isa. And the Gemara brings pesukim. Where is it possible to show me they can use she'elas shalom? Dichsiv ve'hinei boyaz bo mebeis lechem. And he said to the people, saying, "Hashem Amoch, Hashem should be with you." In other words, he used the Kodesh Baruch Hu's name to greet somebody. This was a revolution. This was something that's never done before. Using a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name to a human being, what right do you have to do such a thing? And he made that revolution. By doing so, HaKodesh Baruch Hu agreed with him. Why is it so important to use a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name? Say nice good morning. The teretz is that is to show us that Kodesh Baruch Hu is willing and is maskim and he's quite happy to use his kavod, that you should use it on another human being. Don't underestimate what another person is. If you need to use my name to understand how important it is to greet somebody, then use my name. I don't mind. I may not be completely appropriate. It doesn't matter. Greeting somebody else in a way that the other person will feel better was what Boaz needed in order to ensure that Klal Yisrael, going through a difficult stage in history, was able to survive. Klal Yisrael was in shambles. Shvoita Shoftim was in shambles. He needed that. He needed to make a gezeira that people can speak again to somebody else and start respecting the other human being. Use a Kodesh Baruch Hu's name, even if it would be inappropriate. And this is the important part of Parshas Bamidbar. L'chovelu tefores means when you see a person, when you see another human being, the apostle said, don't just say hello to him. Don't just count his number. The Ramban says you've got to do it with the kovot. The mispar shemos, every person is an individual, every person is choshev. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky at his shiva, there was a nun who lived in a neighborhood in Monsey, and she heard that they were sitting shiva for Yaakov Kamenetsky, so she came to make a shiva visit, and she said he was the only person who greeted her in the morning. A nun over the Avodah Zarah, Yes. Kol Odom. Doesn't mean you have to invite them for a Shabbos meal. It doesn't mean you have to marry children off to them. But it does mean is you got to give kavod l'chol adam. You got neighbors. Good Shabbos. How are you? Is anyone I can help you? But this idea of just of this, it comes from a snobbishness, an aloofness, which the Torah says be amol b'Torah. No, but the kavod l'tiferes. You got to take each person and actually give them the kavod they deserve. Where does this come from, Rabbi Sai? Why are we like that?
Which the negative?
Why are we negative? Why don't we respect people as much? Why aren't we approachable? Why is it that the more we become front, unfortunately sometimes, the less friendly we are to people around us? What's the idea? The Pasuk says, Ish al digloi ba'oiso is a base of voisom yachnu b'nei Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was supposed to split Klal Yisrael into the Shvatim and make them different degolim, make them different flags. Make different flags out of them. Asks the Bali Musa, what happened beforehand? Beforehand there was unity. Beforehand all Klal Yisrael were together, all the Klal Yisrael were one big homogenous group, and they went through the Midbar, everything was fine. Why do you take Klal Yisrael and split up into 13 tribes? What for? Why are you doing this? Ultimately you're causing competition. You're causing that I am Reuven and I'm not Shimon. I've got my own flag and it's different to yours. I'm different to you now. You're making a split. You're disrupting the unity. Why did they do that? The Tumchei Abiyu, Rav Zilberstein, says as follows. He says that in an army, you have all different kinds of regiments. You get the Marines, and the Marines are different in their training to the Air Force. And the Air Force are different to the Navy. And even within the Navy, you got the submarines and you got the warships. And within the Air Force, you have the technicians and you have the pilots. But there's no competition. It's not a war. There's not warring factors. Ultimately, they're all doing one purpose. They're all out there to protect the country. When you have a flag is there to identify your strengths, to identify your qualities, to focus on them, and to fulfill your obligations as best as you possibly can within your strengths. You cannot train an army to be an army without taking specific groups and making them specialists in the tanks, in the Air Force, in the Navy. If you just make training, basic training, nothing's going to come. Klal Yisrael each has their own strengths. The different flags show the strength of each group, and the strength of each group is there to identify the qualities within oneself, but chas v'shalom not by any means to war, to have a machlokes with another group. I'm there to work on my strengths, but I appreciate that the army is built up of all different groups. Klal Yisrael today does not have that straight. There is so much competition. You know, the Hasidim and the Litvaks and the Sfadim, and within the Sfadim and within the Hasidim and within the Litvaks. Rabbi Yisai, we're in one army. Just because one person wears a shtrambel, another guy wears a fez, and another guy wears with a kippah sregah, and the Maisa, we all are part of the same army. We are all part of working towards a goal. But as hopefully, for personal Eved Hashem, talking about Ovdei Hashem, we're all there together. And therefore, although we have our own flags, although we may have what we are our strong points, one person's strong point may be Torah, another person's strong point may be Tefillah, another person's strong point may be Chesed. It doesn't matter. We're all in one army, and therefore the flags are there. The fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu has naturally identified different groups of Klal Yisrael is in order to focus on our strengths, but not to war against somebody else. If somebody is not daven in the same nusach as me, if a person's got different color skin than me, he's a Yid, he's in the same army, we're all there for Avodas Hashem. It should not chas v'shalom take away. Amala b'Torah, Oisik in Torah, becoming great in Torah, if that is your strength, Amala b'Torah, if a person, not such an Amala b'Torah, but is fantastic Amal in Tefillah, he's also got a Chelik in Klal Yisrael. And we've got to appreciate them and love them for that. Yochanan Kamenetsky, just focus, one last point. And he says, "Vaydaber." The pasuk says, "Vaydaber Hashem and Moshe b'midbar Sinai ba'ol moed ve'echol l'chodesh hasheni." They spoke in the first month of the second year, b'shona hasheni seisom eretz Yisrael leimo, from the year they left Mitzrayim. Ask Yaakov Kamenetsky, if it's so important to have different groups, if it's so important to have different Dagolim, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wait till the second year? Why not the first year? Why didn't the first year straight away leave Mitzrayim, Al Tziv Oysom, immediately make the different tribes? Why did he wait till the second year? The terrace is, so Yaakov Kamenetsky, that unless we have an oil moyet, unless we have a focus of where we're supposed to be going, unless we have a focus so we can actually see our tachlis, then to make different groups creates division. The first year there's no oil moyed. There's no focus on Avodas Hashem. We didn't see what we were doing. We didn't know how to do the Avodah properly. We may have had Torah, but there was no clear focus. If you don't have a clear focus, and you make different groups within Klal Yisrael, it will only cause problems. The second year that we had the oil moyed, then each one's around the oil moyed, they knew their place, then actually that can cause a unique blend of cohesion rather than division. If a person understands Ratzon Hashem correctly, if a person understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs every part of Klal Yisrael in order for his sovereignty, for his majesty to come out, then it's not competition. It's a flag that represents my strengths, and I've got to represent, and I've got to respect the flag that represents your strengths. It's not competition, it's respect. It's something that we love and appreciate and commend and compliment when necessary. Those people who have different strengths to us. B'chol Kosei is a mother of Torah. B'chol Kosei is being immersed in Torah. Parshas Bamidbar and Parshas Nosoi is the conditions of how one should make sure that this Amalei B'Torah does not come on the price of other important values. The value of knowing how that one has obligations to one's family, knowing how one has obligations to one's wife, knowing how one has obligations to respect and admire other people with other flags. Even if they're not yours, as long as they are following in the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as they're doing Ratzon Hashem. Learning, becoming elitist, becoming very, very specialized, does not take away the Gedolei Torah, respected, those people who are over to Hashem very differently. The respect they gave each other is incredible, beautiful to see. Somebody once showed me a little video of Rabbi Avadia Yosef, Bodel Chaim Tov, and coming to Rav Chaim Pinchas Scheinberg. The respect they gave each other it brought me to tears. Rav Yosef asked Rav Chaim Pinchas for a bracha. He wasn't feeling well. So Rav Chaim Pinchas says to him, "You should be well. Jebari." So he says, No, I need a bigger bracha. And I started to cry. So Rav Chaim Pinchas says, Please don't cry. So he started to, Ramesh started to cry. And Rav Chaim Pinchas, you can see him shaking with tears pouring down his face, he's crying. Just because he's Sfadi, just because he's got different Nusach, he's another Degel. He's all part of the army of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The respect that we've got to have is for all Klal Yisrael. Don't be elitist. Don't be B'chol Kosei Teilechu B'amolei B'Torah with not understanding that Amolei B'Torah is only an Amolei B'Torah, is only valuable, is only what Kodesh Baruch Hu wants if the other parts of the Midbar and Parshas Nosoi are incorporated in it. If it's a Amolei B'Torah where one does not see the needs of other people, certainly not one's family, then it's not Amol B'Torah. That's Amol with oneself's own knowledge, becoming a professor in Torah. That's not Amol B'Torah. That's not B'chol Kosei Teilechu. That's Parshas Midbar, that's Parshas Nosoi. That's why it comes before and after Shavuos within a Kabbalah Satorah, to make our Kabbalah Satorah a condition based on these values that Torah holds so dear and so precious.